Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody stand up on your feet and make some noise for one of the most phenomenal female groups of our time. Jackie, Dorinda, Karen, Quickie, the Clark Sisters.
Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Good morning, Blog Talk Radio. This is July the 1st, 2023, and this is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yoke of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We are taking charge and living life to the fullness. I am your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers. And we honor the host on today, Dr. Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. And we have an anointed, spirit-filled lesson on today, so we're going to get right into it. Have a few announcements here. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc., and you can send that donation to P.O. Box 438411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. And thank you to all those who have sent in your donations. They are well appreciated. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings to you in this continuing month of 2023. And if you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. You can text 309-750-7584. Or email amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A, Amazinggraceministries @gmail.com. And we are on the air at 9 o'clock every Saturday morning, and we have exciting lessons. So please tune in. And if you wanted to connect to this lesson live, you can go to the web, and the link is http://tobtira.com/s/122243554. Amen. Here's our lesson explained. Now, the Word of God addresses every aspect of our lives. Now, although we're living in perilous times, God is still in control. The Word in 2 Timothy 3:1, it talks about the times we are living in. Therefore, prepare to hear a word that will captivate your mind. It will change your life. Christ has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. This word will illuminate your heart. It will lift you to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will take you on a journey in the word that will give you greater peace, greater hope, and closer to Jesus as we set the pace for victory. We're fighting the good fight of faith and using our spiritual weapons. The theme for this month of July is Birth with Benefits. How about that? The lesson for the first Saturday in July is Daily New Mercies. Our text is coming from Lamentations 3:22-25, and I'm reading from the King James Version. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, said my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. That's Lamentations 3:22-25, and I'm going to also read it from the Amplified Version. It says, it is because of the Lord's mercies and loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his tender compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great and abundant is your stability and faithfulness. The Lord is my portion or share, says my living being, my inner self. Therefore will I hope in him and wait expectantly for him. The Lord is good to those who wait hopefully and expectantly for him, to those who seek him, inquire of and for him, and require him by rights and necessities and of the authority of God's word. I'm going to give some history on the book of Lamentation. Now, the book of Lamentation does not explicitly identify its author. Now, the tradition is that the prophet Jeremiah wrote Lamentations at the witness of the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem, which he fits this qualification. And that's in 2 Chronicles 35:25, and then 36:21-22. But the book of Lamentations was likely written between 586 and 575 B.C. during or soon after Jerusalem's fall. The book of Lamentation was written as a result of Judah's continued and unrepented idolatry. God allowed the Babylonians to besiege, plunder, burn, and destroy the city of Jerusalem. Solomon's temple, which had stood for approximately 400 years, was burned to the ground. The prophet Jeremiah, an eyewitness to these events, which occurred to Judah and Jerusalem. Our key verses are Lamentations 2:17. It says, the Lord has done what he planned. He has fulfilled his word, which he decreed long ago. He has overthrown you without pity. He has let the enemy gloat over you. He had exalted the horns of your face. Lamentations 5:19-22. You, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. Why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us so long? Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measures. The book of Lamentation is divided into 5 chapters. Each chapter represents a separate poem. In the original Hebrew, the verses are acrostic, each verse starting with a succeeding letter to the Hebrew alphabet. In the book of Lamentations, the prophet Jeremiah understands that the Babylonians were God's tool for bringing judgment on Jerusalem. That's Lamentations 1:12-15, 2:1-8, and 4:11. Lamentations makes it clear that the sin and rebellion were the causes of God's wrath being poured out. That's 1:8-9, 4 and 13, and then 5 and 16. Lamentation is appropriate in a time of distress, but it should quickly give way to contrition and repentance. Lamentation 3, 40 through 42, 5, 21 through 22. Now, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet for his deep and abiding passion for his people and their city. Lamentations 3, 48 and 49. This same sorrow over the sins of the people and their rejections of God was expressed by Jesus as he approached Jerusalem and looked ahead to her destructions at the hands of the Romans in Luke 19, 41 through 44. Now, mercy is defined as compassionate treatment, especially of those under one's power or clemency. A deposition to be kind and forgiving, that's a heart full of mercy. Something for which to be thankful, a blessing, it was by mercy that no one was hurt. Mercy, pity, and compassion all roughly are synonyms. While most modern versions are incredibly good at capturing the meaning of the original language, the best way to get at the meaning of the word as it is in the scripture is to read every instance of the word in the scripture. One can do this using a standard concordance or any of several online Bible programs or Logos Bible software. These methods make it easy to find every instance of a word used in the Bible. Mercy and grace are often confused. While the terms have similar meanings, grace and mercy are not the same. To summarize the differences, mercy is God not punishing us as our sins deserve it, and grace is God's blessing us despite the fact that we do not deserve it. Let me say that again just in case we didn't understand it. Mercy is God not punishing us as our sin deserves. And grace is God's blessing us despite the fact that we do not deserve it. Mercy is deliverance from judgment. Grace is extending kindness to the unworthy. A good way to understand the meaning of mercy is to see how it relates to grace. Mercy, not getting what you do deserve. That's withheld punishment. Grace, getting what you don't deserve. That's unmerited favor. Mercy is like a judge finding you guilty, but then withholding any punishment. Grace is getting something you could never have imagined, an inexplicable gift. It's like the same judge awarding you $10 million after finding you guilty. Ephesians 2, 3, and 5, this is the NIV version. It says, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Now, in this sense, mercy can be thought of as an opposite of grace, or more correctly, the inverse. The words are normally used in scriptures as defined, though occasionally the distinctions are blurred. In Greek as in English, mercy can also mean pity or compassion. The King James Version, for example, often translated the word love as mercy. For the purpose of this study, we will focus on mercy as not getting what is deserved in the here and now. Exodus 33 and 19, the NIV version says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God forgives all confessed sins. By grace we are saved and put right with him. But will he intervene to withhold earthly consequences? Will he show mercy? How many times? Even after we know better. Let's look through scriptures to see why, when, and if God doesn't give some of us what we deserve. Lamentations 3:39 says, why should any living man complain when punished for their sins? Jeremiah 21:14, this is the NIV I'm reading from. I will punish you as your deeds deserve, declares the Lord. Numbers 32 and 23. You may be sure your sins will find you out. Is God ineffective at making sure our sins find us out? Are we really getting away with it? Can we continue to count on God's mercy if we remain unrepentant? The biblical meaning of mercy is to be spared or rescued from judgment, harm, danger, or trouble. Psalms 4:1 says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." Psalm 6:2 says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed." Psalms 9:13 says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer to them that hate me, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death." 1 Timothy 1:12-13 says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercies he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Jude 21 says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have mercy granted to us for all of eternity, the withholding of judgment against us, because his pure blood cleanses us from all sin. Think of how much mercy God has given us. Most of us have never contracted herpes, AIDS, and some of us haven't even gotten married, haven't gotten pregnant without wedlock. We've miraculously avoided accidents we deserve due to recklessness, inattentive, even drunk driving, and so on. God's angels must be working overtime administering his mercy. 1 Timothy 5:24 says, "Remember that some men's faults are obvious and are equally obvious, bringing them to judgment. The sins of another man are not apparent, but are dogging them nevertheless under the surface." Job 33:27-30 says, "I sinned and perverted what was right, but I did not get what I deserved. He redeemed my soul from going down to the pit, and I will live to enjoy the light of life." God does all these things to a man twice, even three times, to turn back his soul from the pit, that the light of life may shine on him. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." God's mercy is vast and amazing. Ezra 9:13 says, "What has happened to us is a result of our evil deeds and our great guilt, and yet our God, you have punished us less than our sins have deserved. Shall we again break your commands?" 1 Timothy 1:13 says, "Even though I used to be a blasphemer and did all I could to injure and this mercy, however, was shown me, because until I became a believer, I had been acting in ignorance." 1 Timothy 1:15-16 says, "I realized that I was the worst of them all, and that because of this very fact, God was particularly merciful to me. It was a demonstration of the extent of Christ's patience towards the worst of men, to serve as an example to all who in the future shall trust him for eternal life." Hebrews 4:16 said, "Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with fullness confidence, that we may receive mercy for our failures and grace to help in the hour of need." Psalms 103:8-10-14 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sin deserves or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." Michael 7:4-18 says, "Who is a God like you who pardons sins and forgives the transgressions of remnants of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but deliver, delight to show mercy. Then you say, well, who needs mercy? Romans 3:23-27 says, both Jews and pagans sinned and forfeited God's glory, and both are justified through the free gift of his grace by being redeemed in Christ Jesus, who was appointed by God to sacrifice his life so as to win reconciliation through faith. In this way, God makes his justice known, first to the past, when sins went unpunished because he held his hand, then for the present age, by showing positively that he is just and that he justifies everyone who believes in Jesus. So what becomes of our boasts? There is no room for them. Romans 11:30-32 says, just as in the past you pagans were disobedient, but have found that mercy which might have been theirs, the Jews. But for their disobedience, so they who at the present moment are disobedient will eventually share the mercy that has been extended to you. God has all men pinned together in the prison of disobedience, that he may have mercy upon them all. Then when you talk about flirting with disasters, taking God's mercy for granted, Romans 2:5, or are you by your obstinate refusal to repent simply storing up for yourselves an experience of the wrath of God in the day of his anger when he shows his hand in righteous judgment? Your stubbornest refusal to repent is only adding to the anger God will have towards you on that day of anger when his just judgment will be made known. Romans 1:32. They know what God's verdict is, that those who believe like this deserve to die, and yet they do it. And what is worse, encouraging others to do the same. Galatians 6:9, this is the King James Version, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Romans 11:22 says, you must try to appreciate both the kindness and strict justice of God. Those who fail experience the justice, while you are experiencing his kindness and will continue to do so as long as you do not abuse that kindness. When mercy is not granted, mercy in the sense was mean is vast but limited and will end in either one, repentance leading to salvation by grace, or two, stored up wrath and eternal punishment. In the meantime, God is calling us out of mercy and into obedience. Eventually, it dawns on all of us that we cannot get away with unrepented sins. It's as if God gradually withdraws his mercy after we have come to a knowledge of the truth. God's mercy has served its purpose. Now it's time for obedience. 1 Peter 4:17-18 says, the time has come for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if what we know now is only the beginning, what will it be when it comes down to those who refuse to believe God's good news? Now, while evil men go from bad to worse, we can no longer even get away with sins of omission. James 4:17, and it's the New Living Translation, it says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. I'm going to say that again. James 4:17, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Like children, we object. We say, well, everyone else is doing it, or I used to be able to. But when God meddles with our affairs, some of us have already experienced a dramatic extent of how far God will go to form Christ in us. When the fear of God hits us, our prayers for deliverance from sins are finally answered. Have you experienced this? Think what it would mean if we really could get away with sin. Hebrews 12:6-8 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what sons is whom the Father chasteth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons? Romans 12:1. Think of God's mercy, my brother, and worship him. I beg you, in a way that is worthy of thinking beings, by by offering your living bodies as a holy sacrifice, truly pleasing to God. Exodus 34:6 in the NIV version says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he does not leave the wicked unpunished. Now, here we're going to do some identification with the suffering of others. Romans 9:15 says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Occasionally, God chooses not to grant us mercy for the purpose of judgment, rebuke, discipline, or testing. Fortunately for most of us, this is the expectation, not the rule. For the time being, God has shown incredible patience and mercy by withholding most of the effects of our sins. Luke 23:40-41, don't you fear God, he said, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. If God chooses to give us or someone we know what we deserve, how should we respond? If it is us, fear and repentance cannot be achieved too quickly. If to anyone else, we have an occasion to voluntarily share in the suffering that we have been mercifully spared. Why would we willfully do this if God hasn't made us suffer for our sins? Because by sharing their sorrow, we can voluntarily feel what we in fact deserve ourselves and can help restore them. And given our tendencies, who knows but that we may be next. The 23rd verse of Jude, this is the NIV version, says, snatch others from the fire and save them to others, show mercy, mixed with fear. Now Galatians 6:1-2 says, brother, if a man is trapped in some sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself. You may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, the parable of the unmerciful servant. Matthew 18:23-27, I'm in the NIV version. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Now Matthew 18:28-31 verse says, but when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me. I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay his debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Matthew 18:32-35. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Now this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. Michael 6:8 says, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord requires of you? To act justly and love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Luke 1:50 said, his mercy extends to those who fear him. In conclusion, even in terrible judgment, God is a God of hope. That's Lamentations 3:24-25. No matter how far we have gone from him, we have the hope that we can return to him and find his compassion and forgiving. 1 John 1:9. Our God is a loving God. Lamentations 3:22. And because of his great love and compassion, he sent his son so that we would not perish in our sins, but can live eternally with him. John 3:16. Faithfulness, Lamentations 3:23. And deliverance, Lamentations 3:26, are attributes that give us great hope and comfort. He is not a disinterested, capricious God, but a God who will deliver all those who turn to him, admit that they can do nothing to earn his favor, and call upon the Lord's mercy so that we will not be consumed. Lamentations 3:22. Let's go to the throne for prayer. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly before your throne of grace, God. Lord God, before we ask you for anything, allow us to thank you for everything. Lord God, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy, God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. You are truly the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace, and we come to say thank you on this morning. Lord God, we thank you because you woke us up this morning, God. We knew our name, God. Hallelujah. We thank you for who you are. Hallelujah. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you've done. And Lord God, we thank you for what you're going to do, God. Hallelujah. Lord God, if it had not been for your grace and mercies, we wouldn't know where we would be on today, God. But because of your grace and mercy, we can come to say thank you, Lord God. Lord God, we come to give you the praise. We come to give you the highest praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our hallelujah belongs to you, God, and you only, God. Lord God, then we ask you to forgive us. Forgive us for any sins we have committed, God, knowingly and unknowingly, Lord God. Forgive us for our shortcomings, God. Hallelujah. Help us to come up to where we need to be, God. And then, Lord God, look on your people everywhere, Lord God. Look on the listeners one by one, name by name, God. Then, Lord God, look on Dr. Carrie, Lord God. Just bless her, Lord God, in her future endeavors, God. Then, Lord God, look on my leaders, Lord God. The administrative assistant, superintendent, Dr. Byron Gibbs, God, and Lady Gibbs. Look on Evangelist and Elder Johnson on today, Lord God. Look on the mother's board, Lord God. Look on Mother Maxine, Lord God. Mother Norman, Mother Florida, Lord God. Hallelujah. Look on Sister Christine in Texas, God. Sister Martin in Texas, Lord God. And go over Indiana, Lord God, and look on Pat, God. Hallelujah. Look on the usher board today, Lord God. The musicians, Lord God. The whole household of faith. Look on Mother Carrie today, God. Touch her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, God. You know what she needs, God. You made her, Lord God. You know all about her, God. Lord God, then look on Mother Esther Moore and Mother Luckett today, God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you for the mothers. We thank you for the prayer warriors, God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. And then, Lord God, we thank you for Sister Leon today, Lord God. Touch her mind, God. You said that would keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Help us to keep our minds stayed on you, Lord God. Then touch Brother Grafton, God. You know what he needs, God. Hallelujah. Give him the strength that he needs to keep moving, God. Oh, God, and we just come to give you the glory. We come to give you the honor, and we come to give you the praise on today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, you know that all the unspoken requests that the people have laid before you, God. All those whose names I didn't remember to call, God. Dr. Bradley, Lord God, look on her today, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you the glory. We give you the honor, and we give you the praise, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk on today, where your co-host, me, Evangelist Rogers, today. Next week, Dr. Carrie will be back. Dr. Carrie has a birthday. Why don't y'all text Dr. Carrie and tell her happy birthday? Hallelujah. I'm not exactly sure what day, but I'm sure it's this weekend. Let me give y'all that number again and just drop a happy birthday. Early is good, and even if it's late, that's still good. Amen. Amen. Text her, 309-750-7584, and just say, happy birthday, woman of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening. Enjoy your day and just be blessed. Be blessed. Amen. Amen.